This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Today we have part one of an interview between Dr. David Clements and Pam Gregory. And it's all about the evolutionary wave creating metamorphosis.
The few of you who don't know Dr. David Clements, he was originally a very high-achieving academic with two PhDs in maths and physics, theoretical physicist, and then his galactic companions team started to contact him, and his life is now utterly different. He's a living energy systems expert. He makes regenerative technology to help humanity, and he runs a beautiful Patreon group where you can join as a free member, and regularly offers live streams, meditations that essentially your galactic teams run, don't they? They run the meditations.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And they are life-changing for people. So I'd really, we'll put the details of how to connect to the Patreon group below as well. But, you know, people are just really finding they're shifting big time with those meditations. So thank you for all that you do, David, and thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you very much, Pam. I love being here with you. I mean, the conversations that we have, the energy that's, you know, because we're good friends, and it just creates such a lovely stream of conversation. And it's so helpful to people, because I feel that that, you know, the teams, my higher self, the infinite source of intelligence, as I call it, so much comes through when it just opens up in such a spontaneous flowing way like that. And so, you know, I love doing this because I know how helpful in the aha moments that people have, that it has for people. So it's a real delight. And also, you know, I really love you, Pam. You're such a wonderful soul, and I love chatting with you anyway. So
yeah, and look at the scenery behind David. Absolutely. We're all there with you. I'm sure once we learn to teleport, we will be. But David and I had a very quick catch-up chat last week, and a few things came out of that I'd like to sort of probe further, and I think would be a great help to all of you listening. But our conversations are always spontaneous. They're never planned. They're just on the hoof, as it were. So David, a while back, a few months ago, you mentioned that there were going to be a series of evolutionary waves coming through for humanity and Gaia this year. And when I look at the astrology for July, the words I want to use are crescendo, climax, because you have a lot of astrological aspects, in some cases that have been building for hundreds of years, that all lock into exact geometry. And so that is, you know, it's very powerful and it's very significant. And can you share what you feel is going to happen in July? You were talking about potentially a big wave of light, potentially.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's exactly right. So the team spoke of a series of waves coming through, and the nature and how these waves were coming through would be sort of modulated or sculpted in a way that was most beneficial for humanity at that time. And because the very advanced teams, galactic teams, even intergalactic that are here, the infinite source intelligence, which is sort of overseeing the big picture here as well, including the intelligence in the core of the earth and our collective intelligence as higher selves embodied in human form as well. So it's this huge symphony that's constantly morphing, sculpting, and shaping everything to move in the most appropriate way for this ascension process, because that's really what it's all about. And so, yeah, they spoke about these and they weren't very specific. And usually that's because they don't want to give people an idea to mentally grab onto something. They want it to be fluid. It's almost like the analogy they're showing me. And it's interesting, I felt to put this image on of the flowing water because they said, well, imagine like, you're flowing down and they tell you, oh, there's a log ahead. You go, oh my goodness. Okay, I'm ready for the log. I'm ready for the log. You kind of mentally get, you sort of grip yourself and sort of inadvertently actually get in the way of the flow of the nature. And when you get there, you realize, oh, actually, you're just going to flow right around that log and go around and everything's going to be fine. So it's kind of human nature, which they know, in a very loving way. They know how us humans could behave because of the nature of where we've been. We've been in a very, very low vibrational, ultra gripping, self-gripping and gripping on the outer world conditioned state. And so it's natural that we have this automatic grip, get ready, prepare for anything we know is coming down the road, even if it's a gentle one or we don't even know we're doing it. So that's just a little bit of clarification, I feel, as to why they don't give too much information, but just to give a sensation of the excitement of what's coming, because that's the real nature of the energy that we're looking for. It's the delight, the excitement, the evolution, and the expansion, not the mental, okay, get ready plan, get ready to control this, do this, or put this in a place. It's not like that. We're moving away from that paradigm into a paradigm of intelligent flow. So we're not looking for low-level control or grip. We're now in intelligent flow. And so and that well that's my view of it anyway. So what they spoke about, and when we chatted, recently, was that there was going to be, and they said it's already started, but there was going to be this big build up towards sort of, June and then July, as you mentioned, and it's to do with this big jump in restoration back towards a state of inner knowing. And what does that mean? Because that word, it gets used a lot, inner knowing and so forth, but it's a bit ambiguous in a way. So this, just to describe a little bit of the sensation of what they have given me, is that it's we're being restored back to a state of beingness where our knowingness is, how could I say? Let me describe the image they're showing me. There's this immense light that comes from the core, and in that light emission, that light field, is this library. Excuse me, this library of experience, this library of knowingness. And it's not a physical memory knowingness, like, oh, I can recall the memory of what I did yesterday or what I did before. It's not quite like that. It's not a mental memory of reference, if that makes sense. It's an implicit, innate knowingness within the beingness of the living light energy emission that you're giving off.
It's more
And
like
so
a
with that,
claircognizance. It's more like a sort of spontaneous claircognizance.
in a way, and but the I mean they're here now, my teams and my higher self, they're saying somewhat but not quite. They're saying this is going to be a new sensation that humanity hasn't felt yet. And that's the first time they described that, because they didn't mention that when we were talking the other day. They just gave us a little bit of a flavor, to what was happening. But they're saying this is a delight, because it's going to help people move into really letting go, into a state of and they're saying when they use the word trust, it's not quite the same way as we humans use the word trust, because there is a slight connotation usually with the word trust of, okay, I'll go along with this, but there's a slight kind of, and they're saying it's very different. It's a genuine trust. It's you are really being invited to settle into that genuine you, where you know everything is okay, where you know it's not a, oh yeah, I'm not sure. They say it's going to be fine, but I'll kind of trust that. But part of me says, something might happen. It's not like that. They're saying, if those of you who are listening have had encounters or have felt the energy of perhaps the angelics or the beings you work with, particularly your higher self, you may have well had a sensation of the bliss and the peace of that energy, that centeredness. You could describe it as a very strong centeredness, but strong itself has a slight connotation about it, almost like a grip. It's not. It's such a clear, a clarity, a well-defined centeredness and grace and stillness that is so present, and you can't waver it. You know, you can't sort of wobble it. It's so present. And they're saying that is what humanity is moving towards. And in that, an innate knowingness of everything is okay. I'm completely safe. Everything is fine. It doesn't matter what appears to be going on in the outer holographic field system. I'm centered, and I feel and I know what's going on, and everything is okay. And they're saying that's the level that they operate at, and that's what they're trying to help humanity back into. And they're saying what's going to come forward with that is a lot of humanity's old paradigms, notions of self, which aren't really true self, identities, things we attach to, because there is a significant aspect of human existence as where we have come historically, that we have defined ourselves in terms of what we can grip, the identities we have, the place we are, the circle of friends we have, the job, you know, a whole slew of things that we either know or don't even know that we're actually having a grip onto. And we have this big collection that we carry around with us in our day that we think is, yes, this is me. I'm good today. I've got my collection. You know, I'm good to go. And so they're saying there's a series of events that are coming through these waves that are going to gently, you know, just encourage people to let go of these and let go of them properly. And they're saying what's going to arise behind those and take its place is the genuine you. And and there is no holding there. There's no posse. You cannot hold on to yourself. And I know they've said this before very clearly, that which you can let go of is not you. And once you have let go of everything, the real you is revealed. And it matches what the Pleiadians said a long time ago. They said, all of you can ascend right now. All you have to do is let go, and let go truly. Not just, okay, I'm relaxed, I'm cool, okay, ascend, you know, and nothing happens yet, right? You know, you can try that. Because it's about the deeper aspects of us where we don't realize where we are holding on, how we are holding on, and what we are holding on to. It could be anything. It could be an identity. It could be a feeling of safety. It could be, oh, I'm good so long as I have that in place. You know, so long as that's still there, that's my trusty steed, you know, all those things we let go of. And what replaces that grip and maintaining of our collection of things that we think is us, it's replaced by this genuine us. And now we go into a state of living, intelligent, fluid self-consciousness. It's a completely different state of being. It involves no effort. It involves no holding on. You are simply being, and you are in delight of that beingness. That is where we're going. And so the series of events and this coming back of existential memory or experience is part of that package, because step by step, as one thing gets broken off of you, an identity, a grip, whatever it is, it's going to be filled and replaced with the living intelligence of the real you. And you'll get lighter, you'll get softer, you'll start to know more of yourself. And you won't know, hey, where did that come from? It will just appear. So there's nothing to work out, nothing to kind of, you know, sort of cross the T's or dot the I's and say, yeah, there we go. That's good. I've crossed that little check box off. You know, it's going to be very fluid. And they're saying a lot of this will take place during the nighttime when you're sleeping, because that's when you're most relaxed. And that's when the most grip is released, where they can get to work and help you move forward a lot. So they're saying that is, in a sort of nutshell sort of form, the series of crescendo events that are going to be coming forward. And they're saying, as a message, what they'd like to get out there is that they're saying a lot of you know this is happening already, even if you don't know that this is specifically what is happening, because you're encountering a lot of issues of anger, perhaps sadness, downness, irritation, you know, lashing out. And they're saying these are all artifacts of strongly hold things, you know, part of the collection you have. It's interesting that I feel like using the word collection, you know, it's like we assemble all these things, like they said before, and we hold them and we carry this baggage around with us as if this is us, and it really isn't. And whenever one of those big boxes gets taken off of you, it feels like something very wrong is happening, but it isn't. It's that you're being asked to let go of a box that is not of you. And in its place, the real you will emerge, it will emerge even more. And so, yeah, that's kind of the process. And so my higher self and my teams, is that pretty much the essence of what you wanted to share there? They're saying, yes, there's one more thing as well. They're saying this is happening on a collective scale. So the earth is going through a similar thing because, like, we have assembled a collection within the earth's body. All sorts of dramatic events throughout history have been collected within the fields, within the physical soil itself. You know, that's a big conversation out of itself, but just to nutshell it, all of that is coming off as well. So a lot of the old dross from big events of the past are being removed, and they are being replaced with the living intelligence of the core of the earth as well. So we're going through this simultaneously, hand in hand. And they're saying a lot of the physical events. So, you know, they're saying like a lot of the earth shaking going on, a lot of the physical, you know, big things that are happening. They said that a lot of this has been modulated, as they said before, but some of it still will need to happen because big things need to be shaken out. So it's not anywhere near as what people were predicting, lots of kind of, you know, events to happen so far. Forth. But they're saying there will be some, and they're saying, you know, each of you will be guided if you need to temporarily move to a, you know, different place for a while or stay where you are, you know, just they're saying be in the softness of who you are. That is when you are the most receptive to the real you, and that is when you'll get your information. They're saying it's very important as a lesson to humanity, is saying don't go after information. Don't try and grab it and say, right, I need to know. And say, because that's where you're going to lose the stream. They're saying the more you can just be playful, which is a wonderful state of opening up to self. The more you can be playful and relaxed and just be softly receptive to yourself, that is when you get the good information, and you will, the knowingness, it will just appear. So that's what they're encouraging to, people to do. So is there anything else you wanted to add, my high self and my Arcturian teams on this at all? No. Oh, actually, they're saying the Earth herself has a message she'd like to bring through. Okay, so Mother Earth Gaia, please go ahead. Such a lovely smile. The energy when it comes through, it's such a lovely, smiling, motherly energy. It's okay. So she's saying be of good cheer. She's saying that she understands how there is a lot of turmoil appearing to go on right now. But she's saying, as this one has said, it really is the old boxes of the old, so to speak, making their way to leave. And she's saying, dear children, she's saying, just, and dear humanity, just be aware that as those boxes leave, be aware of your reaction to that leaving, and just allow, you know, because and I can understand this, that often when something leaves, we feel like something, we're losing something, or something is being taken away from us. And sometimes we fight to keep it back in place, even whether we know we're doing that or not. And she's saying, just imagine the river, how water moves. It doesn't resist, it just moves around. It just flows, it keeps on flowing. It's the most beautiful material fluid, you know. So she's saying, the more you can be like this and just be allowing of this process that you have, and it's unique for each of you. The more graceful and easier this will be, and it really will be. And just she's saying, just very playfully remind yourself, if you find yourself getting bogged down in grip and anger and reaction, that's the time to get out into a forest, get out into nature, just relax, just breathe gently, rhythmic breathing if you've been doing that, or whatever way makes you feel you get back into that inner softness again. Because she's saying one of the things that has scared humanity the most is being in a vulnerable, soft state to yourself. And that's part of the problem, she's saying. Because she's saying humanity has been taught from an early age to be defense up, ready for action, ready to defend. And she's saying that actually prevents you from relaxing into that soft, liquid, fluid, living, conscious state of your true self. And she's saying that is what is being asked of us, humanity, right now, that we're moving through just to be allowing and let go. And she's saying that there will be emotions attached to it, because a lot of sadness, anger, and other things have been attached to those processes we've gone through when we've felt like we had to defend ourselves or push back an encroachment, whatever you want to call it. And she's saying those times are of the old energy, they're moving away, and you're moving into the delightful soft center of who you are. It's very gentle. It has both that deep feminine and the deep applicator of the masculine in perfect fluid harmony. There's no push-pull, no contention, nothing like that. So she's saying, with that understanding, know that you are being moved there and it is all okay. And that's her message.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, David. So, is everybody going to experience this to some degree at broadly the same time?
Yes, there was a yes straight away on that. It's the Arcturians coming through now. So they're saying it will vary from person to person. It depends on your path, the nature of, they're saying what this one calls puzzle pieces. That just means for those who are new to that term, because I know you've probably got a lot of new people who've joined your channel since the last time we talked. These are the aspects that we've come to work on consciously, the energy blocks, the stuff, so to speak, to break it down, transmute it, change it, and replace it with the true self within us. So those puzzle pieces we've selected to go through, certainly family properties, family fields, certainly certain family energetics, because we are adept at doing certain things. So, if I plot myself in that family, I can, that's great. That's the perfect mix that will give me the puzzle pieces I need to work on and go through. So that's what they mean, or that's what I mean by that. So they're saying, so everybody's process is different, and it also depends on the choices you've taken in how you sculpted yourself energetically in this life, as to what will be optimized for you in the best way to get the best experience. Because they're saying it's individually, they're showing me an image. I'll try and put a word to it, but it's like it's a light fluid crafting, if you like. It's a sculpting. So that for each individual, the light moves in a particular way. It might sort of enlighten this area over here because that's specifically what you need in that stage, but it will be doing something different for somebody else. They're saying that no individuated experience is the same. And they're saying we very much encourage people not to compare yourself to anybody else specifically. And they're saying we know it's a very common human trait to think, oh, if somebody else is making a jump and you're not, to downtread yourself thinking, oh my goodness, they're having this experience, I'm not. Oh, it mean that I must be less than. They're saying absolutely not. No, you are all moving forward and it's being optimized specifically for you in the way that is most helpful for you. And for you, maybe that you're going through a process where that will come after you do that specific process. And for somebody else, because they didn't have those puzzle pieces in place, they are able to do that now. And then you do this over here then, and then so on and so on and so on. So there should never be I would always discourage anybody from comparing themselves to anybody else, because it is absolutely meaningless, because we have these unique paths and puzzle pieces. In order to some of the puzzle pieces we're going through can be quite dense, they can be quite intense, and sometimes we have to sit in that energy for an elongated period of time in order for the light to work through, break through it, dissolve it away, and finally resolve that puzzle piece. So you can get a big puzzle piece sometimes, whereas the person standing next to you might get a little puzzle piece, but they've got another one, a big one coming after that. So it's like that. So I would encourage people to perhaps, mulch on that and have a feeling on that, and understand that in their own way, basically. So my high self, my Arcturian love light family, is there anything else you wanted to add here? They're showing me a very strong, and this is interesting because I saw this in the recent meditation where they introduced the integration cocoon. Yeah, they're saying that's why they wanted to get my attention on it. Okay. They're saying that if you have your own way, or if you want to go to, and do the integration cocoon that they brought through, whatever you feel is the right way. But they're saying a process of integration is taking place. And what that means is that as we clear things, the light flows, the light streams that connect with each other, because there's this huge, beautiful, interconnected light. It's not really I don't really call it a system. It's a living fluid. Let's just call it an organism, because I'm not really sure what else word to give it. But all those things, a little bit like, fibers coming together, these light streams sort of have to reconnect, reweave, and re-synergize again. And there's this synergization that's taking place between us as in a human suit and our higher selves. And so that is taking place as well. And they're saying as the days move forward, a greater stream of energy is going to be coming through this huge conduit that connects from the earth through us and through our higher selves, multidimensional. They're saying that is going to increase. And they're saying that's part of the knowingness that is coming forward. As that light comes forward and starts to immerse in you, you'll innately get this inner knowing coming forward, and you won't know where it's come from. It will just appear. It might suddenly wake up and realize, I feel really different today. I don't know why. I feel just more fun, more graceful, more peaceful, and it will just appear. So they're saying those are to be expected, because they're saying those are the delightful moments that are going to increase more and more as time goes forward. But they're saying, just be aware though, that if you find yourself feeling ugh, or sad or in grip or grief, all of those kind of low things, they're saying, be aware that is something that has been brought up to the surface because of the light that is pushing it to the surface. And that's okay. Just be allowing. They're saying, don't tackle it. Because I've done this myself in the past, many times you go right, right, and you kind of want to have a, sort of sort it out to get yourself back to the good feelings, And they're saying one of the best things that, well, certainly one of the best things that I've learned with my team's help is just be lighthearted about it. So, okay, I see that you're there. That's fine. Okay. And I know that you're on your way, you're passing through. Why get in the way of a train that's trying to leave?
Yes, yes.
It's going to be painful trying to stop it. It's like, and you just need to let it be on its way. And so one of the things they're saying is in a human, because we have such strong emotions, it makes it that much sometimes more difficult, because when our feeling fields get saturated with the stuff that's coming up, we feel like that's all that's there. And that's when we have a tendency to get sort of bowled down. But they're saying if you can just allow and just know that that is going to pass, and it's just for the moment, it's like noise. Somebody's turned the radio up real loud. It's like, okay, this is going to pass soon. It's real loud. It's real noisy right now, but it's going to turn off, quite soon. And the more I don't fight it and engage with it, the quicker it's going to pass away. And this comes back to what they're saying about the grip, because we've been so used to the control and the holding on our collection. And we don't realize that many of these states, the baggage we put on top of it and we hold as our collection is actually preventing it from leaving. And that's where we step in our own way a little bit. So they're saying they offer this information just as a little helping hand to understand better this wonderful process they're calling it. Even they're saying, even though we know that in humanity's perspective, it doesn't feel like that many times. And they're saying, many people are going through some very deep, outpourings right now. And they're saying that is when you need to be the most allowing, the most letting go, because it actually is, if you look at it from a higher perspective, they're saying it actually is an invitation to let go of something you didn't know you were holding on to begin with. And that's the difficult part. When you don't know you're doing it, but you are using your energy to hold on to something in some way, that's when it's like, no, I'm not holding on to this. Why does it feel so bad? I'm really not holding on to it, kind of thing. When deep down there is an aspect of you that really is. And that's also when it can feel, quite overwhelming. And so they're saying just being aware and reminding yourself of that knowledge will help you just relax a little bit more and understand, okay, so something I didn't realize is coming to the surface. It's going through its process. It's going through its way. And, you know, there are a whole bunch of tools and things that they've given us at the Arcturians that people can see on the website. Or if you have your own, you know, it's whatever works for you is what works. So, and make use of those. But they're saying that the key thing is if you can find the delight and the fun within the clouds that are coming off you, you are so close to your true self. You know, that's a very, very special place. And they're saying that is going to become more and more to the front as time goes on. So they're saying be of good cheer is the word they're using, because the more of these clouds that you allow to blow off you, that center is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And then they're saying there is a threshold that's going to be reached that instead of identifying with or thinking that the stuff coming out is what you're all about, now you have this inner knowing that is now brighter than that. And now suddenly you're in this knowingness of who you really are, and the clouds can come and go and they don't affect you anymore like they used to, because you're not identified with them. You are now in a deeper knowing of yourself. It's like being in this beautiful place and it's cracking with thunder and everything outside. The clouds don't affect you anymore because you know who you are. You know, they can't get at you anymore in a sense. You know, they can't affect you. And so they're saying that is really coming forward in the next, you know, couple of months and moving forward for people. And so they're saying that we're really looking forward to the delight that humanity is going to do, and the ease within their self, and the peace, the grace of self. I'm just trying to find words to describe the energy that they're showing me. It's such a blissful thing where they're saying you could be in a room of people shouting at you like crazy and you will be able to simply smile at them, because being in a world where you're attached to outer things, where people can yank your chain because they're really yanking your collection, you know, and if you're holding your collection as you, no, how dare you? This is mine, or something like that, you know. They're saying when you've sufficiently let go of that, you're in your knowingness, you can see past their shenanigans and dramas, and you can see through to the core, and you know that's just their stuff playing off. And you can be at peace with it. And they're saying, this is how the masters do it. This is how the advanced beings do it. When you are going through your stuff, they don't get all offended and kind of, you know, when you know, you start saying, why isn't this happening? Why aren't you doing this? And everything like that, which is quite, it's quite a common occurrence for humanity to do. They're saying they simply just back away and smile, and they hold the energy for you because they know it will pass. You will come back into your peace, and then they can help you recover from, you know, the clouds that have just cleared off of you. And they're saying you will actually find such a delight when these clouds come up, instead of, oh my God, you know, something terrible is happening. They're saying this is going to be quite a switch for humanity, a real transition, a transformation. They're calling it a metamorphosis. Because
that word a lot, personally.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And they're saying you're metamorphosizing from being this being of that is identified, attached, and has this collection of all this outer stuff, and having tried to squish it all inside you as if that's you, which actually covers up the real you, to that's coming off now, and the real you is expanding back out again. And they're saying the grace and the peace and the beauty and the delight and the wonder, they're saying you will feel, will be never ending. Life will take on its true meaning, because instead of being feeling like you get up and you've got battles, you've got an assault course to go through, you've got this to sort out, all that rubbish that goes on, they're saying that's all an artifact of the energetics of the collection we hold playing itself out in the outer world. And it keeps repeating, because as long as we keep the collection there. They're saying as the collection, as boxes get pulled off of you, you know, the sadness, the yucky feelings come up without the charge, the emotional charge that goes with those boxes that comes out. They're saying it will be replaced by this living, true center of self. I'm trying to find the right words to describe what they're showing me. It'll be blissful, it will be delightful, it'll be wonderful. And every day you'll wake up with this innate excitement of, wow, what can I do today? And they're saying that isn't invented. That's not you psychologically just trying to tell yourself, yes, I'm going to be positive today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to feel good about myself. So it's not like this. This is a completely different way of being. There is an innate joy. There is an innate delight that you cannot invent. It's simply you. It's part of you. You don't have to create or, make up fanciful ideas. It simply is there. And they're saying that is a metamorphosis which is coming. And they're saying it's coming fast now. And that's why so many people's boxes, so much of the emotional charge that goes with that is rocketing to the surface and rocketing out, saying just be in good cheer of that because it's a necessary and it's a beautiful process. Even though from a human perspective, it doesn't feel like it, but that knowingness will come forward and then you will really understand, ah, this is a delightful process. It doesn't affect me in the same way it used to anymore. It's coming off in droves now and it doesn't affect me. So they're saying they're really smiling. There's a whole group of them there. It's not just the Arcturians anymore. They're saying this is the delightful crescendo that is coming for each of us and the Earth herself as well.
Wow, so this is literally June, July, and we're right into this now. So is this so far for us, David, the biggest evolutionary wave we will have experienced in our lifetime?
Yeah, they're saying that it's hard, it's difficult to categorize because they're saying that time in the linear way that we view it is not the way that they see it. It's more about energy sculpting. And what we see in a perspective of linear time, like sequence of events one after the other, which is what I think of linear time, they're saying it's more sort of morphic and fluid in that way. But they're saying you're not wrong in the human perspective that each wave that comes through is bringing more profound metamorphosis, transformation from the old outer gripping, controlling, collected baggage self. Or false version of self to a true natural version of self, which is the real you. It's wrong to use it as a ver it's not a version. It's the you. It's the actual you that's coming forward. That's a better way of saying it. And they're saying this metamorphosis on an individual basis is so accelerated that even on an individual basis has never happened before, but on a collective basis, on a planetary basis, has never taken place anywhere before. This is a real, they're saying this experimental metamorphosis is so profound. And the results of this, as the metamorphosis, really goes through its final stages, is going to be, well, this is their words, off the charts delightful.
Wow.
So that's the word they're using. And they're saying this is why they're saying we give these words and these phrases to help people understand that something so profound is happening and it's happening within you. And one message, if you don't mind, sorry, you've probably got more questions. Sorry, I've got they're saying that this is one of the big messages that they would really like to remind people of is that the apparency of a lot of unfolding in the outer holographic happenings, the outer world, whatever you want to call it, is taking place. And they're saying that what they would like to encourage people to do is to just relax out of that because there's a lot of focus on, oh, that's happened, that's happened. And they're saying it can be fun to see what's going on. There's nothing wrong with being, sort of curious in a delightful way. But they're saying what's happening is people are pinning themselves to dates, events, ideas, ideologies. And they're saying that is actually slightly undermining or slowing down, they're saying, your own metamorphosis because you're changing from one set of collections to another set of collections you're holding on to. And they're saying that's part of the metamorphosis is to be so unattached to what's going on in the outer world. And they're saying they'd like to bring in a piece of wisdom here. Because they're saying from their point of view, what humanity does is they have a great fear or a sense of an uneasiness that in letting go, oh my God, I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to om all day. What else can I do? You know, it's and they're saying nothing could be further from the truth. When you relax into the soft, true self of who you are, whole vistas you're not even aware of creativity and experience are going to open up to you. You're not retreating. They're saying in the old ways where people used to go up into caves and meditate for 10 years, you're not doing that. They say that's not what is happening here. So the idea of letting go means that no more delight, excitement, wonder, adventures. No, they're saying quite the opposite. More of that is going to happen because now you're opening up to the true expansion of your fields. Now your reality can really rock, so to speak, but in a divine way, a beautiful way, a loving, intelligent way, you know, not a haphazard way that we've been because we've closed everything down and it's all become control based, you know. Because they're saying the more you let go of the control and the grip, your love intelligence is now being allowed to emit more profoundly and sculpts your reality into exactly this harmonious, beautiful, delightful, adventurous wonder of a life. Not just bashing through the next series of events. It's a complete metamorphosis. You're moving from that into true self, into a completely different paradigm. Sorry, my Arcturian friends, I interrupted you there. Is there anything else you wanted to add on that? Yes, Smiley. they're saying that, yeah, to add to that, they're saying that there aren't any words to give, they're saying, that will help you get a better sense. But they're saying, if you go inside and be at peace and just relax your sense of grip on everything, you'll now get such a beautiful picture and feeling of what it is you're moving towards. And you, by doing that, you're encouraging it to come forward. And so they're saying that the more you do that, the more you give yourself permission to soften. And that's a key word they're saying, you know, because they're saying there is no tension, grip. What's the word? It's like solid structure. It's hard to describe. It's like there's nothing to hold on to in your true self. The more you allow yourself to soften and go into that, you know, they've mentioned this before, the more you go into your truth, they're saying just get to know and befriend that truth of you, because the more you do that, now you get a better sense. You're really letting the metamorphosis take its place now and accelerate. And they're saying knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and knowingness of the past is going to come forward. It's going to activate in packets. And the more that you can be in your soft, open state within yourself, that real, blissful, delightful center of yourself, that's really going to unfold, they're saying. So they're saying that we really encourage people to consider doing that, in their daily life. And just to be aware of anything, anywhere that they're gripping, holding onto, afraid to let go, because they're saying, we'll remind you again, whatever it is you can hold on to, whatever it is, spiritual identity, homely identity, job identity, social identity, doesn't matter. It could be all sorts of things. Whatever you're holding on to is not truth. It's not really you. Because you can only hold on to something which holographically has a densification to it, which actually isn't, you know, a real thing as such. It's a holographic projection or a construct. So whatever you can let go of, when you let go of, the real you is revealed. You know, there's an analogy they used once before. It's like, you know, they said, what if we asked you? And they said to me before, and this is said, you're on an island right now. You feel safe. It's got sand. It feels like it's solid. You feel like you're okay. What if we ask you to walk out into that ocean way into the horizon there where you can see no islands, no nothing, no floaties, no nothing, and just sit floating in the ocean? So I remember going out there and they said, now, what do you feel? And there was this kind of reaction of, oh my God, you know, there's nothing under me. There's nothing around me. What's happening? You know, and they're saying this is fundamental for humanity, that you feel very much unless you have solidity, unless you have the grip, unless you have the usuals, your collection in place, you don't feel safe. You don't feel everything is okay. They're saying quite the opposite is true. When you learn to get out in the ocean and you sink into the ocean, let yourself just submerge, you realize, oh my goodness, I was the ocean all along. I'm actually returning to myself. And I didn't need the islands. I didn't need solidification or solid anything. I just go back into myself and everything reveals and opens up to you then. So they're saying that's something they'd like people to play with, the idea, and feel that idea. And even saying, sit down in meditation and imagine yourself being on an island. And what do you feel if you swim out into the middle of what appears to be just ocean everywhere? And then let yourself submerge and see how you feel. They're saying that will be the sensation of you trying to keep yourself right where you are, not where you're metamorphosizing to be.
Medwin Goodall there, When Light Beckons. So that was the first part of the interview with Dr. David Clements. So next part, next week, is this part two. In the meantime, Lee Harris is telling us about this month's energy update, and it's about feminine fire is rising.
Hello everyone, welcome to this month's energy update. Okay, let's get into the themes for this month. And firstly, I hope you're doing okay out there. As we know, it's a wild world right now. I hope you are getting the time to breathe, to catch your breath, to integrate. And maybe this is one of those moments for you. So welcome and thank you for being here. The major theme for this month, I normally get given about 8 themes a month, but as I was preparing this one, I just had this massive theme blazoned in my mind's eye, and it was feminine fire is rising. Feminine fire is rising, and it will be felt strongly in June. So I'm just going to read to you the parts that I have, which will also be on the energy guide, and then I'm going to reflect a little on what I heard. So feminine fire is rising and will be felt strongly in June, beginning a rebalance of a world too run by masculine energy. This feminine energy will be with us and growing between now and 2028. Masculine fire is fight is full of tension, externally expressed rage and destruction or domination, which hides the underlying grief, heartbreak, and loneliness of disconnection when the masculine is in its fire. Feminine fire rising brings the antidote. It is the end of hustle culture and instead aligns us with sustainable and aligned productivity and creativity. It brings passion and intuition. It brings fearless boundary setting and raw expression, defense of justice, and those who need protection from injustice. Feminine fire refuses to agree to limited societal expectations. It's an energy that nurtures and enlivens, but also transforms old ideas and structures. It is sensual and body or nature oriented in its sensuality. It speaks up where it was previously silenced. Feminine fire sees clearly and knows what to do next without hesitation. It is a protector of love and community. So whenever we look at feminine and masculine energy, we have to remember that it doesn't matter what gender we were born into, what gender we identify with or don't. Feminine and masculine energy is in all of us, but it is obvious to most of us that we have been living in a very masculine dominated society where energy is concerned, and a lot of shadow masculine. And I'm not talking so much about we the people, I'm talking about the power systems, the leadership that we have seen and been in and around for a long time. Now, of course, there are exceptions to this. There are examples of the opposite. There are examples of grace, love, compassion, and that feminine fire that will protect and nurture people. We've also seen that in certain leadership positions. But right now, we're seeing this rise of the shadow masculine, and some would call it patriarchal. So we're in this period of time where there is this reckoning around all of that. So it's not that we look out and go, oh yeah, I see a world full of feminine fire. We won't see that in the mainstream culture as the, shall we call it, dominant thread right now. The dominant thread that has power currently is not that. But energetically, what we're seeing is this rise of feminine fire in all of us, whether you identify with being male, female, or you have a different identification than that. The feminine and the masculine energies need each other for balance. So for our world to be more balanced, we need the feminine to come into its balance. It's interesting that last month I was speaking about divine masculine. There was this call on the divine masculine to hold space for and protect the divine feminine within all of us. Well, now we see feminine fire is rising. So there is a lot about polarity that's coming out energetically. And I often get messages related to energy. It's a little different to specific details or the way that things are shaping up. But why I wanted to bring this to your awareness is, yes, we might see global events that are showing demonstration of this feminine fire saying, no, no more. We're going to do this differently. And we're seeing a tension in a lot of cultures right now, and also a lot of leadership of people or oppression of people, and the clash between those two. But you'll also be feeling it in yourself. So that's an aspect I wanted to kind of look at with you. So as I was kind of tuning in on the feminine fire rising and asking, what does it bring? And my knowledge of what feminine energy represents the end of hustle culture, and instead it aligns us with sustainable and aligned productivity and creativity. I think I spoke last month about the hamster wheel that we're on as a society, and the hamster wheel that we're kept on. And that has to change on the planet. And there are so many different forces, voices, and movements that are bringing more of that change. But we're also seeing the opposite still playing out. So you may be feeling this in yourself, the utter exhaustion of keeping going, of pushing, and also the insanity of it. It's like, where is that leading us? How is that actually serving society? We can see that we're at a dead end in many of our current ways, but you know, we're all individuals here trying to make our own way, figure things out. But as a group, we become a movement. And I think often there can be this feeling of despair when you look at things in the world, and you know, we as a single individual, it's so overwhelming when you look at all of it. But what we are here to do is to be an embodiment of ourselves, and each of us get to embody ourselves and be, we're one thread in the tapestry. We make a tapestry as a human world, but we're a thread in that tapestry. So for you personally, you might be coming into more of your empowerment around who you're here to be. Doesn't necessarily mean who you're here to be is going to be something that's highly visible, or you're a leader for your community, or you're out there online. It doesn't have to look like that at all. And in fact, for many, it won't look like that. But it might mean that your passion, your intuition are getting stronger. Your raw expression around what you feel passionate about, what you're feeling intuitively, is just becoming more fearless and allowed out in the world. You might be getting really good at boundary setting right now. That's where feminine fire comes in. Feminine fire will create boundaries to protect its own energy, to protect others. It's also very much about defense of justice and helping those who need protection from injustice. So we've talked a lot about sacred activism, the sacred energy that comes through us to help the underdog, or the one who we can see needs our help, and we're capable of doing something. They might not be in this moment. They might need us to move in. So there's a lot of that going on that we're seeing play out. But feminine fire also refuses to agree to limited social or societal expectations. You know, societal expectations have been made up. You know, they've been made up over time, and they've been modified. And there are certain things about them that are wonderful, and there are certain things about them that are outdated, outmoded, and aren't allowing people to be free. So feminine fire is an energy that nurtures and enlivens, but also transforms old ideas and structures. We're seeing a lot of that right now. A lot of people rising up against old ideas and things that are being brought into us again. It's almost like, you know, things from the past. We saw so many women's rights come under fire in recent years. Human rights, gender rights, there's so many things going on that harken back to an old world where there was more control and more division. So this month, I'm not quite sure what's going to play out on the world stage. I'm going to get to that in a minute. There are a couple of themes that talk about world events. But what I can feel, because of how strongly it came through, is on the global stage and in your own personal life, you'll be feeling some of this fire coming through you. And it's coming from our feminine side. And our feminine side is so powerful. You know, I think many men have been told that their feminine side is less than their masculine. And I think many women have been put into a lot of tight boxes around where they're allowed to express, because they haven't had equal rights or power until fairly recently, certainly in, you know, the last few hundred or thousands of years of society anyway. So it's a very interesting time, but the feminine fire will speak up where it was previously silenced. It sees clearly, it knows what to do next, and it's a protector of love and community. So look out for that feminine fire around you this month. You will see it globally, but also see if you can get in touch with how it's showing up for you. It's not always comfortable when we're opening. You know, usually we've all developed coping strategies or safety strategies in our behaviors, in our actions. And when we start loosening the control of some of those, even if we know, oh, I know I've got to speak up. I know I've got to find my voice. I know I've got to say this thing that I've been silencing or avoiding. It's not something we usually go into willingly and with no fear. It's usually something that can have fear or hesitation or trepidation. Not so much in June. This feminine fire is going to come through you. It's going to be channeled through you. You're going to have maybe moments where you suddenly feel yourself saying the truth or taking an action in a way that the old you would have been more hesitant or more slow about it. Don't worry if that happens. Hey, if you're too harsh and you notice that you said something too harshly, say something to the person. Say, I'm sorry if that came out a little strong. You know, pay attention to how things are landing if you're delivering your fire to other people. But at the same time, a lot of the time your fire is going to come up as a boundary. And it's going to come up as a protector of life and light in the face of darkness, control, or shadow that's trying to dominate. So that's the feminine fire rising, and it's going to be the strongest energy in June, and it's going to carry us through the coming years. But June, we're going to see a real emergence of it. So I'm also curious to see what we observe culturally around the world too, particularly in areas where the feminine has been repressed stronger than in other places. So keep your eye on that globally, but really notice how it's showing up in you personally, or maybe popping out of people around you. You know, the feminine fire, when it comes online, it can really, it can warm, it can nurture, it can heat. It's a very alchemical energy, but it can also, you know, slightly singe your eyelashes, you know, some, you know. So it's not necessarily destructive in a negative way, but it can bring a kind of wake-up call with it. So look out for that in you or around you. Okay, theme number two, call to stillness. Call to stillness. There is a call to stillness in June, a need to stop momentum in the midst of overload. I don't think this one needs much explaining, do you? I think, you know, overload in our society is a theme that most of us who've been here for a while are noticing, observing. The technological overload, the overload that we're in because we're seeing and learning so many things of what's going on around the world that we didn't used to know decades ago. And we're also overloaded in our systems right now. There is an instability that you can feel, and I'll come to that in a couple more themes. So there is a need to stop. There is a need to stop. There is a need for us to have moments of silence. I'm aware that's not really the purpose of my video, so I can't just stand here in silence for 10 minutes because I have a job to do, and my job is to give you the information as I see it, and you will take what works for you, you'll leave what doesn't. But there is a call to stillness, and there is a need for us to stop and pause. Most of us have responsibilities on the planet. You know, most of us don't identify with, oh, well, I've just got the whole day to myself and no one's needing me. But all of us, even those of us who have responsibilities to people, to work, to loved ones, family, whatever it is, the world, we all have to take those moments of stillness, and we have to take those moments to stop. You know, for me, I often will just sit and stare at a wall or the ceiling for 5-10 minutes a few times a day. If I, you know, I'll try and remember to do that. And what I notice when I do that is I notice the busyness, or I notice how much stimulation is in my energy field, and I give it a chance to just clear. So see if you can find moments of stillness in your day. And if you're a very busy or perhaps a very type A productive person, and that's your nature, don't give yourself a hard time that you're not very good at remembering to do this. Put it on your schedule. Set an alarm every day at a time that you know you're usually perhaps on your own schedule, and just take 5 minutes. You know, tell the kids, I'm going to be back in 5 minutes. I just need to go and do my 5-minute meditation. What's your 5-minute meditation? It's something I'm trying. You know, you can find ways to create space, even if it's just 5 minutes a few times a day. There is a need for us to stop momentum in the midst of overload so we don't get continually overwhelmed. That's what leads to burnout. When we stay overloaded, when we stay stressed, when we keep running as fast as we can. Most of us have done it, but it does lead to burnout. So there is a call to stillness in June. I hope you can find a way to answer that call for yourself. I know that I will be doing the same even as I go across airports and hotel rooms, and I will still be finding my moments for stillness. Theme number three. And this links to this one, gratitude as an act of presence. Gratitude as an act of presence. Write down 5 to 10 things you are grateful for once a day and notice how it changes you. I've shared this over the years at different times, and you know, there are many different ways to do gratitude practices that are out there in the world. For me, it's as simple as sitting down and writing in a book. For me, it was at the end of my day. For you, you might prefer the beginning of the day. Writing down 5 to 10 things that I was grateful for that happened that day. I actually started doing this over a decade ago when I was in the middle of a period where I was feeling pretty low, pretty flat, pretty uninspired about life. And it was one of the things that I was trying to do to get my mojo back after a kind of tough period in life. And it really worked. The trick is you don't have to be excited about writing your gratitude list. So if you're a bit down or you're a bit, you know, flat at the moment, all you have to do is commit to writing the list. You don't have to feel a certain way about it. But what happens is as you write this list every day, you start to notice things that you're going to be grateful for in the daytime before you write them down. So, you know, I might have written, I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful I have food in the fridge. I'm grateful I had a loving conversation with my mom today on FaceTime. You know, whatever it was, it would just be noticing small moments that were blessings. And the real true blessings, not the stuff that, you know, we've all been trained to think is a good life. A good life is connection. A good life for any of us is connection. When we're on our deathbed, we will not care about any of the things or the achievements. We will think about what we felt connected to in life, whether it was people, whether it was nature, whether it was our purpose. It doesn't matter. It will be connection. So gratitude is an act of presence because it connects us back to the simple, the small, the things that feed us, the things that sustain us. So write down 5 to 10 things you are grateful for once a day and notice how it changes you. Good news. If you do this, you've also done theme number two, which is finding a moment to stop the momentum. Puts you into reflection, puts you into appreciation. And like, I'll give you an example. I did it for about 8 months continually every night. And it forever changed me, actually. It gave me a much more present awareness of things that I am grateful for. But it took me from being grateful for them at night to bringing me into the present, knowing I was going to write about that night. It kind of closed the loop in my presencing. So gratitude is an act of presence. That would be a great thing to do this month as a counterbalance to all the chaos and all the momentum and all the overstimulation of our world. Okay, theme number four. It's funny, this theme came to me before I got the major feminine fire rising, but it relates to feminine fire rising. So fire and power moving into people now. Fire and power moving into people now. And this is happening as a reaction to world events and continually exposed corruption within power structures, because that's not over. That's going to keep coming. The message here is different people handle this differently. So some people, when fire and power moves through them, it's very aligned and they know how to use it and they know how they want to use it constructively. Other people, if it's new to them or if they've had a lot of suppression or repression or if they've been very battered down by people, by world events, and they have a lot of sadness or a lot of grief, as the fire and power come, if it's combined with sadness, grief, or strong emotion, they can be a little more destructive with their fire and power. So different people handle this differently. You know, if there are people around you coming into like a level of fire and power, and you want to support them with that, but at the same time, help them settle or balance, you know, you can be loving and listen and say, I really hear you. I'm really sorry. I feel your frustration right now, or I see your sadness right now, and I'm sorry. You know, being compassionate for the emotions in their fire and their power that perhaps they aren't necessarily seemingly as conscious of can help them come to consciousness with what they're going through. So the reason I share this is chaotic fire and power can feel a little dangerous to be around or on the receiving end of. Aligned fire and power is very much the feminine fire rising. It's directional and it knows why it's doing what it's doing, and it's bringing rebalance, not destruction. The last thing about fire and power moving into people now, because I'm seeing this a lot, be careful of us versus them narratives and fear-based direction from mainstream media. There are certain mainstream media sources that want us to be in an us, but they want us to fight each other. Whereas actually where our attention should be going is the structures of our world and how healthy they are or aren't for we the people. But instead, things will be created that will make us attack a group of us, you know, whether they're labeled a minority group or a subgroup. We're all in a subgroup somewhere. You know, we're all in these groups, whether you identify as someone in a minority group or not. And what's often used to keep us fighting each other and not working together is infighting between groups. So just be mindful of that. You may already be very wise to that and you may see it very clearly. Other people, not so much. And if they're inflamed, if they're in fire and their power is coming, they might want to get argumentative about certain things, or they go, oh, this is where I can aim my fire. And you might be a peacemaker in certain conversations, offering a different perspective to that person who is inflamed because someone else has told them that's the problem. Whereas we've got bigger problems than a lot of the things that we're told. And those are the things that we're going to be working on in the coming years as a society. So fire and power is moving into people now. It does make for stronger reactivity. So know your own boundaries, know your own limits, know your own strength, and be a peacemaker or a perspective bringer when it feels true, but also know when it's time to back away. You know, if someone's spinning and they're, you know, on fire and you're not feeling very strong, don't try and solve that one unless you get a sign that you're going to be a solution. It's important to also look after yourself in these times, particularly if you're sensitive. Okay, theme number 5. Feeling the building tension. Feeling the building tension. Many of us can feel it. It's akin to a pre-earthquake energy. That's, you know, my experience. Obviously, I've lived in California for a long time now, so I'm kind of aware of what that energy feels like. But there is a kind of building tension on the planet. There's an unrest. There's a discomfort that more people are feeling than ever before. And it's not always spoken about. Depends who you're talking to, depends where they're focusing. But you can feel it in the air, and it's logical. It's to be expected. But amid your own service work or your responsibilities in life, because of this tension in the air, find ways to release what you need to and reset and support your nervous system. So, you know, release an emotion. Maybe you're feeling the tension and you just feel a bit more emotional and you just need to cry for a few minutes in the middle of the day, or you feel rah about something. You know, find ways to give yourself those minutes each day to let the emotion move through you. It might not be your emotion. It might be a buildup of everything that you've been in and around, but find ways to just let those pockets of emotion out, because these are quite emotional times. And then resetting and supporting your nervous system. Supporting your nervous system might look like daily exercise of whatever kind works for you. It might be a nice walk in a forest very slowly. It might be, you know, you're a real athlete and that's how you move your energy and support your nervous system. It might be breathing, it might be vagal toning, so many different methods, but our nervous system does need to know that we're looking after it. It doesn't want to be under constant stress and duress. So the other side of this, feeling the building tension and how to work against it, is attend to the small, simple, and local when you can, especially if you feel pulled into the vastness of the many world situations and stories going on right now. Attend to the simple, small, and local when you can, especially if you feel pulled into the vastness of what's going on. It's really important. You know, I know for myself, I live a very local life. You know, I'm in my local community and locals, you know, obviously I travel for work and things, but generally I find local is a really good counterbalance to the vastness of this world situation that, you know, so many of us are looking at. My job has me in that all the time. So I do find keeping things small helps with the size of things. So ask yourself, am I doing enough small, simple things? And perhaps if you're feeling a bit frustrated and your life is a bit small and simple, you might want to try and venture into the world as a counterbalance. But this theme really relates to if you are feeling the building tension. We don't just have to be in response to the tension. We can also do things for ourselves that help balance it. Last two themes. So theme number six is, how do we get to the other side of this? How do we get to the other side of this? Or how is this going to change? Is a question many of us ask these days. How is this going to change? You know, I know it's a question I've had many times. I know I've had conversations with people. So it's an interesting thing, because at the moment we're in this period where it's not going to change overnight. It's not, I don't feel we've even got to the point yet where it starts to move the other way. But within that question and that desire, we have to, for our own empowerment, find a way to serve that desire, find a way to serve that question. So the message I received was, the new is here. The new world and aspects of the new world is here if we build it. Because this question relates to a lot of what we're seeing going on right now, a lot of the heaviness or the darkness of the old world and what's going on around the world. And, you know, you yourself may be finding yourself right in the thick of it right now. But if you aren't someone who is right in the thick of an emergency right now, the new is here if we build it. It could be something small that we build. It could be something big that we build. We might build a community gathering for all the people that we live near. That's a pretty big thing. It could be a small thing. It could be that you notice that, you know, maybe one of your young relatives is struggling and you've noticed. And so rather than just notice and wait, you just gently initiate a conversation to see if maybe they're interested in talking about it. Or if you get that they're not really interested in talking about it, you take an action that's going to quietly support them without them even knowing that you're doing it to try and support them. But you're just going to do something for them, or offer them something, or say something, or drop something in their room that might be helpful to them. As we watch the old world struggle, remember, new energy needs to be seen, heard, and felt. So let the building or creation of something new be enough. Let that be your contribution right now. I'm so happy when I see positive things that people are doing in the world right now. Like, I actively, you know, I'm on several people's newsletters, or I see what certain people are sharing on social media, or what they're doing in the world, or I'm out and about and I see really beautiful happenings. Those moments really light us up. We're contributing to them, but we can also celebrate them when we see them, and also perhaps thank the people who are doing them. You know, thank someone for the way they just spoke to you when you were out and about. You know, acknowledge it. Acknowledge that we're seeing the new ways of being and we're here for them. So, new energy needs to be seen, heard, and felt. So let the building or creation of something new be enough. Let that be your contribution right now. Let that be your contribution to how do we get to the other side of this, if, like many of the rest of us, you don't fully know how we're going to get to the other side of this. But we'll get to the other side of this by building the new as we go through this death of the old. And theme number 7. This is an interesting one, but I heard it very clearly. Old clothes on a new body. Old clothes on a new body. This is the message I was given. The world is in old clothes, but with a newly emerging body. We may feel we are in old clothes, but with a newly emerging body. Your habits, routines, and patterns may need to change. Your physical body and your consciousness might need a lot of time to catch up with where we are. Take your time at the moment. Let the process we are in and this moment be enough. You know, I always try and keep the perspective for myself, just for me here. I always try and remind myself whenever I get a little too wrapped up in things that might be troubling or things that are distressing or, you know, kind of lost a little bit into some of those deeper, heavier, tougher stuff. I always try and remember if I'm spending too much time going in that direction, I could be dead tomorrow. And that's not me being doom or gloom or thinking that's going to happen necessarily, but it's a reminder to me that life is precious and we never know what's going to happen tomorrow that can completely change our world, the world, or be our last day on earth. So I try and keep that perspective to keep me right-minded about life when I feel like I'm getting a little lost in events or things that are going on around me that might be more distressing. We may feel that we're in old clothes with a newly emerging body. You know, this metaphor they gave me, my guides, it makes sense. I think the journey of consciousness and ascension is often that. You know, you're going through life and changing age anyway, and the world is changing as you age. But also, there is this sense with consciousness that you sometimes feel like part of you is new and other parts of you are still old, and you haven't quite settled yet. You haven't quite found your balance point. So you might need time at the moment just to catch up with who you are, who you're becoming, where we are as a world. That's normal. That's actually healthy. It's really healthy to go, whoa, what is going on? And to just give that, not necessarily thinking time, because that won't always help, but just time to acknowledge, whoa, yeah, I just need to take a breath. There is a lot going on and I'm not sure that I've got my new outfit on yet. And that's okay. Something is birthing here in the chrysalis underneath my old clothes. But your habits, routines, and patterns might need to change too. Things that once worked might not work anymore. You might need to encourage yourself to try some new stuff. So these are classic ascension tips and classic descriptions of the ascension journey, but old clothes on a new body. If you're feeling that, you are not alone. There are so many who feel that. So yeah, just take your time at the moment. Let the process we are in right now and this moment be enough. So perhaps join me in a brief meditation affirmation just to kind of synthesize all that we've just gone through. So firstly, feel free to say these words after I say them. If that feels true for you, you can say them inside your head, especially if you're in a room with other people and you've got your headphones on, you don't know if you want to be heard, or you could say them out loud and see how it feels to your body to say some of these affirmations out loud. So, I am enough. I am enough. Life is enough. Life is enough. We the people are enough. We the people are enough. I can allow myself to change with grace. I can allow myself to change with grace. And lastly, I will allow myself to become new. I will allow myself to become new. Nice steady breath in through the nose, slowly out through the mouth. And another. Nice steady in through the nose, out through the mouth. And one more. Nice steady in through the nose, out through the mouth. Okay. Take good care of yourselves this month and every month. And if you've got a little extra juice, take care of the people around you too. Lots of love, everyone. Until next time, take good care of yourself and see you for the energy update in July next month.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So what's happening at Infinity? Well, this Saturday we have Beginner's Tarot with Stacey. That's the 6, that's the 10 till 2. And then next Saturday, what's going on? I'm doing a drum making session. You can come and make yourself a charm bottle. And there's another workshop run by Lucille where you can use normal playing cards for doing readings. So that's all next Saturday. And then the week after is our big 20th anniversary. So stay tuned for that. All details at infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I am Barry. It's been The Voice Within. Kakite. Shalom. Namaste. Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.